Welcome to the Irish Spirits podcast. This is our first episode, The Honeycomb Harbinger, which aired on the 4th of September 2020. If you want to drink along with us, you can find the recipe for the cocktail on our Instagram at Irish Spirits Podcast. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to Irish Spirits, a podcast about folklore and drinking, a natural Venn diagram of Irish culture. Each week we'll have a theme, whether it's ghosts, fairies, or mythical creatures. We will discuss the stories and lore, all while drinking a themed cocktail made by our phantom bartender. This is our first episode, so before we get into our theme, we will introduce ourselves.
So I'm Laura Fitzzachary. I like long walks on the beach, coincidences, and no, I'm joking, that's all a lot of shit. No, I listen to too many podcasts, most of which are to do with true crime or the supernatural, and this does not help the fact that there may be a demon hiding in my room. But I do open the doors quickly to try and catch a glimpse of ghosts. I read a lot of tarot and consider myself a bit agnostic, so maybe those ghosts are real, and I believe the story is told to me. But working in a job that is all about facts and debating those facts means dabbling in all things otherworldly is how I switch my brain off.
My name is Caoimhe Creed, and I've always been interested in the supernatural, so witches, fairies, ghosts, cryptozoology, and I'm into tarot as well. So I read tarot, but I don't take it very seriously. And I wouldn't really consider myself a very spiritual person. I don't believe in ghosts, though I would love to be proven wrong. I love stories, so I love folklore, and what interests me when it comes to folklore is what it says about people and society, so I'm looking forward to discussing that.
And I'm Alex Buckley, the person responsible for the drinking element of the project. I'd say I also have an interest in supernatural, as I studied philosophy and theology in college, but I'm certainly an avowed skeptic of anything without ample evidence, but I'm definitely looking forward to hearing the folklore elements of these stories. Enough about that, the reason I'm here is to know about alcohol. And I worked with Baggot Street Wines for 3 years, and we have a big range of liquors and spirits as well, and the alcoholic kind, not the other spirits, and have been lucky enough to visit a lot of distilleries in Ireland, and have done a few spirits and cocktail courses with the WSET and Dublin Bar Academy.
So you're very well suited for this podcast, of course. As are we all.
You're the element that we need.
I'm the only one that believes in ghosts, by the sounds of it.
I know.
I'm going to prove you all wrong. And all the people are going to agree with me, I know they will. So this podcast is called Irish Spirits because we are Irish and based in Ireland, and we want to talk about the supernatural, of course, as well. We might branch out a little bit more, but Ireland has a very rich folklore which we can choose from, strong belief in the other world, so there's already so much there to discuss. It's also called Irish Spirits because we are going to be drinking Irish spirits. So each episode, thank you to lovely Alex, we will have our own drink, which is created by him. Copyright this shit before I get there.
Exactly. And I only copied it from four other cocktails.
And if not entirely, then mostly made from Irish spirits or Irish products. So Ireland is often associated with alcohol, sometimes in a negative way, which might be unfair because we actually have won the highest level of teetotalers, which I didn't know this. Caoimhe, you found this out.
Yeah, I think it was on the Irish History podcast. Finn Dwyer mentioned it, and I was like, I'm going to use that all the time. Yeah. Like, we do have a lot of alcoholics as well, but like, a lot of countries have a lot of alcoholics, and we actually have one of the highest levels.
There's
of
a teetotaler here.
He's in the house.
He's in the house.
But we don't let him in the room.
No, he's not here though. We're not right here. A lot of countries have got problematic drinking cultures. Ireland just gets associated with this idea of drinking. Still a lot of people associated, of course, then, as you mentioned, well, we're probably getting drunk as the episode goes on.
We
definitely
probably are. So we'll get worse. Yeah. Or better. We don't know yet.
Drink responsibly as well.
Yes, please do. Please drink responsibly.
Irish whiskey is popular all over the world, and whiskey comes from the Irish term Uisce Bheatha, which means water of life. Of course, though, Guinness is one of the country's most famous exports.
So yeah, the words are actually both related. So spirits meaning ghost and spirits meaning alcohol. So the word alcohol comes from Arabic, so alcohol, which is the coal that people use to outline their eyes. And some people still do, it's kind of old fashioned, but
that's my world. Use it.
Yeah, that's Laura's other specialty. So because the coal was an extract, alcohol came to mean the essence of anything, like al just means the, so came to mean the essence of everything. So the essence of wine was the alcohol of wine, and then over time it became the most important alcohol, like the only alcohol anyone really cared about. Then spirit was another word for alcohol, and it was thought to be an actual spirit, like a little fairy or something, that was like in the whatever it was. So in the alcohol you had an alcohol fairy. So the little spirit was the essence of the alcohol, if anything. So alcohols like whiskey and gin and rum, we call them spirits. Alcohol and spirit used to mean the same thing in both senses.
That's class. I'm just realising every time I pick up my drink, all you can hear is a little clinking ice cubes.
Clink, 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 clink.
ASMR. That's what you're hearing. It's great. We'll get on to the drink very soon. But each episode will be divided into discussion points that are arranged alphabetically. So because we are super cool, you wrote this. But we will start with A, which is for anecdote, and that will give you a story or a few stories that are on that theme. They're as close, well, I would believe they're eyewitness accounts.
Exactly.
Eyewitness accounts.
Can't all be skeptical.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't really work otherwise.
I'm going to convert
like, here's a load of lies from a load of liars.
And we'll see how much drink affects my beliefs.
That's it. But B is for a backstory, so we will deal with the lore of whatever we're discussing, and so what is canon when it comes to the legend. C is for context, so in context we'll talk about anything like when and where of the story, and what it implies about society, looking for what really happened. Don't know why you have that in air, but
so what really happened, like the truth, like obviously it wasn't a ghost, so what was it actually? That's what I want to know.
D is for drink. That's where Alex comes in. We will be drinking for the entire podcast. Don't know if
hopefully it's not that well.
Don't know if we've mentioned that already, but in this section Alex will tell us about what we're drinking, why he chose it, and give us some information about the ingredients.
Yeah, ready to go. And then drinking it for now.
Finally, E is for ephemera, so just extra things you couldn't fit into the sections, funny details, all that kind of stuff. So today
we're talking about the Banshee, the Irish harbinger of death, and we are drinking a honeycomb harbinger. That's the name of our couture cocktail, which we're going to discuss in detail later on. And I think Alex, you're going to tell us a little bit more about alcohol in Ireland, which we kind of
glossed over there. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, alcohol, like spirits in Ireland, has grown massively since 2010, which to me does not seem like that long ago, but I suppose it was a decade now. But so it was only 4 distilleries in Ireland in 2010. That's grown to 32 working distilleries on the island as of this year. So huge growth, and a lot of them are producing. Like obviously, we'll talk about the base for this drink.
Gin.
But things like sort of poteen and whiskey, and whiskey as a category has been the fastest growing whiskey category in the world as well in the last definitely 4 or 5 years. So yeah, really going from strength to strength.
I couldn't imagine that there's that many from strength
it's
to
really
tail.
Growing massively, yeah. All producing good stuff as well.
Mostly
aimed at the whiskey market, but obviously to do the whiskey you do need to produce a base spirit, so they do tend to produce poteen and gin as well.
Now, you mentioned there a few minutes ago that the more drunk you get, the more you're going to believe in ghosts. So I think we should start off with the first section, which is anecdotes.
Yeah. Let's get into some stories. Now, tell us some scary stories.
I don't know
stories.
If they know our background. Well, I did say I was joking about how I listen to too many podcasts, but I'm a historian by trade, so if I did come across a ghost, I would have the ear chewed off of them because I'd be asking them so many questions. But one of the earliest accounts of a banshee sighting that I could find is from 1642. So it was recorded by Lady Anne Fanshawe in her memoirs. This event occurred when Lady Fanshawe and her husband, Sir Richard, were staying with Lady Honor O'Brien at Inchiquin Castle in County Clare. Now, I researched this on a really dark, rainy night and instantly regret it because I freaked myself out. Hey, you ready? Ready for this?
Yeah,
it's kind of old timey.
Tell us.
About 1 o'clock, I heard a voice that wakened me. I drew the curtain, and in the casement of the window, I saw by the light of the moon a woman leaning into the window through the casement. In white, with red hair and pale and ghastly complexion, she spoke loud and in a tone I had never heard, thrice, alas. And then with a sigh, more like the wind than breath, she vanished. And to me, her body looked more like a thick cloud than substance. I was so much frightened that my hair stood on end and my night clothes fell off. I pulled a pinch.
That always happens to me.
A very different kind of story.
Do you know what way I'm reading that? You know when Patrick Stewart in Extra goes, and her clothes just fell off?
I love that so much.
Sorry, that's the way I'm
but
reading it.
But it's too late because I've seen everything.
So the banshee is just going, and your clothes just fall off. So I pulled. Back to Fanshawe. I pulled and pinched your father, who never woke during the disorder I was in, but at last was much surprised to see me in this fright, and more so when I related the story and showed him the window opened. Neither of us slept any more that night, but he entertained me by telling me how much more these apparitions were usual in this country, so Ireland, than in England, where they were from. And we concluded the cause to be the great superstition of the Irish, and the want of that knowing faith, which should defend them from the power of the devil, which he exercised among them very much. About 5 o'clock, the lady of the house came to see us, saying she had not been in bed all night because a cousin, O'Brien of hers, whose ancestor had owned the house, had desired her to stay with him in his chamber. And that he, I know, a bit of something going on
then. Then her clothes fell off.
But he died at 2 o'clock. Sure. And she said,
"Interesting development."
I wish you to have had no disturbance, for 'tis custom of the place that when any of the family are dying, the shape of a woman appears in the window every night till they be dead. This woman was many ages ago got with child by the owner of this place, who murdered her in the garden and flung her into the water under the house. But truly, I thought not of it when I lodged you here, it being the best room in the house. We made little reply to her speech, but disposed ourselves to be gone suddenly. The end.
Best room in the house aside from the goods.
best room in the house, the banshee's going to set your hair
your clothes off.
But like, there you go. So that's the banshee now. I know we're going to be talking about the banshee and the backstory of her, but that seems like a scorned ghost more so than
quite interesting, because the banshee, which we will talk about, is more of a fairy than a ghost, but this character seems definitely like a ghost. But like, there's not really an origin story for the banshee, and there's like a few different ideas of like where she might have come from if she's not just one of the fairies. And one of them...
She keeps spelling.
I don't like usually drink and talk this much at the same time.
That should be like coming out of it.
This is where my training comes in.
I was like ready for this.
Professional.
Drink and talk.
So what was I saying? Yeah, so the banshee, like the kind of ghostier banshees, there is like a little bit of... There are a few stories about that. That's quite interesting, that one.
Well, I mean, it sounds like here some fella knocked up some young one and then was like, well, I'm not having this, and then killed her.
Solution, yeah, that's quite a good story just in and of itself.
Hooked her in the moat, and she's like, well, I'm going to haunt you and make sure that you're very dead. But that's 1642 that this account is written in, so...
When they're saying they concluded the cause to be the great superstition of the Irish, does that mean that they don't believe it, or that they do?
Or they think that the Irish believe it. And they kept saying that the devil exercises his hold over us. Sorry, excuse me. Do you mind? But there you are. So, like,
they're like, we're in Ireland, so those must be real.
Yeah, that's a real in Ireland.
Also, yeah. The fact they were aware of superstitions and think that we were just superstitious.
Do they think the Irish manifest the ghosts through their superstition?
Or do the ghosts already exist? And I'm obviously going to go down that road, am I?
Right, so the ghosts exist, but these people didn't see them until they came to Ireland, because...
But if the ghosts exist, right, say for example, because you're a sceptic, if the ghosts exist, and I think I see the banshee, and I tell you, you'd be like, no, Laura's just really superstitious, and her granny died, so she saw the banshee, whereas I'm like, no, I actually genuinely saw a banshee, like, what am I to do? I think she did see her, all of her clothes fell off.
That's just happened.
I had to put it in.
And her husband was asleep the whole time. So when he woke up and found her naked, he was like, what's going on? She was like, there was a ghost!
When he was pinched away.
She didn't wake him up, yeah.
He was probably like, oh, happy day. Ghost or not. But so there's going to be kind of a running joke now. So fairy or ghost? That's the big question of episode one. Fairy or ghost? But I've got another account for you guys. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to convert you. All right. Count number two is from a man called Joe McGann. I believe what Joe McGann says.
Sounds like a stand-up
film,
doesn't he? Joe McGann.
I'm Joe McGann.
Yeah.
Sorry for all the Joe McGanns.
So is my father.
You're going to offend so many Joe McGanns. That's your own fault. So. It's the putty.
There's probably like one town where there's like 50 Joe McGanns.
Imagine there's like one town. It's like McGann's town.
Yeah. I imagine that that's quite true of like rural Ireland. There's like loads of people with the same name in the same town because they're all related.
They're all related.
Not called Joe McGann. Anyway, go on.
Sorry. With Joe McGann. So, Joe McGann, he says an old man was going home from card playing very late at night, suspicious, gambler. The night was very bright, and on crossing a stile, he saw an old woman sitting on a stone combing her hair. When she saw the man, she ran away, and the man knew she was the banshee. In her hurry, she left the comb behind her, which was a gold one. Mm. The man picked it up and went home with it. That night, he was not long in bed when his wife wakened him, saying the cat was at the window wanting to get in. The man went to it, and on looking out, who did he see but the banshee shouting for her comb? He got it and threw it out to her. "Ha ha," says the banshee, "'twas all your luck. You did not put out your hand."
What was she going to do to the hand?
Rip it off. There's, I believe there's a lot of different versions, like 83 versions of that story, is that right?
83 different versions of that story.
Some of them are on Dukas, but it's kind of, like, regional. So, it usually follows the same kind of, like, structure, just about, like, somebody finds a comb, takes it home. In that story, he finds a gold comb, so I kind of understand why he took it. If it was gold, he'd be like, oh, free gold. But, like, otherwise you're just like, a banshee's comb, I think it's, like, a really weird...
Now, personally, if I found a random comb, I'd be like, free comb.
Personally, if I found a comb, like, that is someone else's comb. You were there bringing it home, giving it
a bit. We're talking about, like, a long time ago in poor Ireland.
Yeah, didn't happen upon combs.
No, not everyone has, like, combs to spare. And then usually the person goes home with the comb.
So I'm just imagining someone going, we didn't even have combs back then. We just brushed our hair with our fingers. You're so lucky, you kids, these days, with your combs.
If our parents being like, in my day, you had to walk 15 miles in the snow when you don't shoot.
You had to find a bloody banshee to get a comb.
Or she'd rip your arm off.
Well, we'll assume he had combed his hair at this point.
he had his annual comb of his
hair. His wife's like, well, you were well-groomed for just one night.
Suspiciously. Straight hair.
Yeah. That was such tidy hair.
Going back to alcohol, we presume he's not drunk at this point.
Yeah, and he's been out gambling as well. He just told his wife any ill tat to get him off her back, to be quite honest. But speaking of men being a bit, there's one who was a bit of a dick about the whole thing.
Okay, yeah.
And his name is John O'Hara. Also, you'd believe what John O'Hara said. Yeah. Now, he's coming back from the pub when he sees a woman sitting on a wall. Okay? Right. He says, good night, but she would not speak. He said, good night again, but she would not answer.
Leave her alone, so!
At last he said, whoever you are, I will make you speak. And he went home for a mastiff dog.
Dramatic reaction to nothing.
I love the way it's worded. Men. For a mastiff dog. When he came to where the banshee was, the dog would not go near her. So he went home with the dog, got his gun, loaded it, and put a bent sixpence in it. He came back again, but the banshee was gone. Less than a week later, one of the Bradleys died, and that night the keening of the banshee could be heard all over the countryside. People thought that something terrible would happen to John O'Hara, but nothing did. He is still hale and hearty, although it's been some years now since he heard the banshee.
This is just like a classic story of male privilege. It's like, pay attention to me, or you're not paying attention to me, I'm going to get my fucking dog.
So, two good nights, and he's gone to get a dog, and then a gun, because the dog didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What,
you're going to say good night to me, bitch.
What I love
and then about, nothing happens to him. There's no consequences.
What I love about this account is that he says, a dog. It's not even probably his dog. It's like, a mastiff. Their dog.
He acquired a dog.
A mastiff, and he was like, I'm going to use you to intimidate a woman.
Alright, are you ready for one more, and then I'll give up trying to give us another scale.
That was my favourite one so far.
This one's actually kind of sad. So, a young girl called Etty Daly lived in Little Town, Robertstown, County Kildare. Mm-hmm. One day, she heard the banshee crying near the house, and she went out to see what it was, and she saw a woman peeping around the end of the house, combing her hair. The girl was only 8 years of age at the time, Etty. She didn't know 'twas the banshee. She had a stick in her hand to hit the woman because she thought she was coming to steal something. She ran after the woman and was shouting at her to go away. She followed her up the tunnel at Nellie Connolly's gate at Grangeclare, and the banshee went under the tunnel. the girl went round all sides of the bridge but couldn't see the banshee. She began to get afraid and ran home and told her mother, and her mother said it was the banshee. Etty Daly was burned to death soon after.
Jesus!
Less funny.
That's yeah, not that funny. I know. Because I was trying to find out what happened to Etty Daly, and I think it was her house went on fire.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because it used to happen, like, surprisingly often that children would be wearing these really cheap...
Spontaneously combust.
Well, no, but they wore these really cheap nylon dresses and nighties that, like, made of really cheap material that were super flammable. And people had open fires in their house.
Isn't that, like, didn't that happen, like, trick-or-treating with some kids? Like, be careful near, like, open pumpkins and, like, those crappy little nylon dresses.
Yeah, you mean open bonfires?
No, like, people just, like, trick-or-treating.
Oh, pumpkins with little candles on them.
I suppose it's very flammable material.
It is. It's literally just, like, wearing paper mache and almost, like, just go up like a light.
It might be a bit dramatic. Didn't this happen to women a lot? Because they had very large dresses and there was a lot of open fires.
Oh, God, yeah. There's accounts of, like, people dying in, like, corsets and crinoline, you know, those.
It's so hard to get it off them.
Can't get it off, then if you go off,
on fire.
So, what would you do then? What would you do?
Just because a woman is wearing a large dress doesn't mean she's asking to be set on fire.
She's not asking for it.
Can I just.
She's not asking for it. She's not asking me set on fire, thanks. But what would you do then if you saw the banshee? I'd have so many questions.
Yeah.
Where'd you come from? Where'd you go?
Where'd you come from, Aunt Nigel?
Did she run away from you immediately?
Well, she's going to run away. And then you're going to take a stick.
And I'm going to take
the your comb.
Yeah,
so. I'm still
going to put her hand out and see what happens.
Yeah, chase her with stick.
But what I want to know is, where is she gone? Can we not hear her now over the M50 or...
Oh, like, why do we not have banshee stories in the city?
So I hadn't heard or found an account of a banshee for ages that was, like, recent enough.
Yeah.
Until today in work, chatting away to an unnamed colleague for legal... reasons. She
can probably say who it was.
Yeah. She, her old teacher saw one like 25 years ago in her granny's garden, and then she ran home from her granny's and her mom was like, oh yeah, your granny's dead, she died today, and she saw the banshee combing her hair in her granny's garden. And this is like the 90s.
Yeah, my uncle late as well, 80s or... saw a banshee.
See?
Yeah. What? Although he was predisposed to, like, see a lot. I think he saw a lot of different supernatural events, but yeah, he apparently heard and saw a banshee, although I don't know that it was linked to any particular death that I'm aware of, but yeah, you must find out more about this story.
Was she, how do you know it was a banshee?
Well, I don't know whether it was a banshee.
Was she combing her hair?
I'll check.
Did you just
I think it was the wailing.
Oh,
so nice. It was the noise.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the wailing in a bit, because I have some stuff to say.
I've got some stuff to say.
Women waiting, anyone being like, oh, must be a banshee.
If anyone listening has anything to say and has seen a banshee, please let me know. They won't care. Let me know. No, convince them. Tell everyone.
Yeah. Tell us your story.
Yeah, I would love to hear a real life account of someone finding a banshee. We have Twitter. You can tweet us at IrishSpiritsPod, or you can email us irishspiritspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can get us on Instagram. I set up all of these things, guys.
I'm like,
at Irish Spirits Podcast. Luckily, none of these things were already taken. It was very convenient. So we have
not a lot of competition.
Yeah, apparently not. That's good for us.
Drinking Ghost Podcast.
Yay. I think there probably are some other ones. But,
oh, yeah. In the world, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, should we take a break to get a refill?
Absolutely, I'm flying through this. The only reason it's a bit low is I'll be talking for the first half.
All right, we'll take a little break and then we'll get into some other. So we'll get into B for backstory. We're moving on to our second section, our second topic, which is backstory, and that is just began with the letter B, and it's
maybe you went lean too far into doing the podcast based on the opposite.
We were trying to get lore.
Yeah, it's too far down the alphabet. So backstory is basically the lore of the whatever we're talking about, that being the banshee today, the canon when it comes to banshee. So basically, I'm just going to give you some banshee information. All right,
brilliant. Go for it.
I've got some cue cards. They're not brilliant.
I love your little flashcards.
Little flashcards, and I've got them
with paper clips, and the paper clips are coordinated to the flashcards, which are coloured.
My God.
I know.
So if I recall your Instagram story correctly, they're too soft.
They are, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. So they're like quite papery. They're not like card.
Which actually I think is a bad feature.
You should start a stationery podcast.
Agreed.
That actually might be, have a good audience.
If so, yeah. But like it wouldn't be visual. Like you'd just be like describing.
I think people would be into that. I'd listen to that.
Describe iPads.
If you if you sat there and described your paper clips, I would tune in.
Yeah.
Just saying.
They're pastel paper clips. Alright, let's get into it.
Banshee.
So the Banshee is probably the most famous, maybe except for the leprechaun, most famous kind of Irish myth internationally. And she is a harbinger of death. So she lets you know that someone is gonna die. She's best known for her like wailing and crying. So she wails and cries before someone dies. That's her jam. That's what she does. So Ban is Irish for woman, and then she refers to the people of the mountain, so the fairy people of Ireland. So it's Banshee, that's where her name comes from. It's just Lady Fairy.
Lady. She's a woman fairy.
Woman fairy. Fairy woman.
Fairy woman.
Is the Banshee. And like I feel like whenever I thought about a Banshee, I would have thought she was quite like ugly.
A hag.
No, like a hag. You always imagine she's like a hag.
I think I may have confused it with the kind of hag.
Right, like someone who...
Visuals.
But then, why did Jan O'Hara want her to talk to him so bad?
Exactly.
If she was rotten, he probably wouldn't have even looked twice.
Yeah.
It was kind of playing hard to get situation, because she rejected him.
He's like, well, I don't care how ugly look.
She is. Yeah. I want some response.
Yeah. I'm still gonna bend a sixpence. Shoot you with
get
it.
You with a sixpence. You're not worth a bullet. But quite a lot of the first-hand, I mean, doing air quotes, the first-hand accounts of meeting a Banshee.
God, they're real.
Describe her as quite beautiful or very small sometimes. Like, sometimes she's, like, really tiny, like a little tiny fairy lady.
Oh, like, interesting.
Yeah, I'm normal sized.
Kweeba is 4 inches tall for everyone.
Kweeba's fun size.
I'm slightly taller than a Banshee.
Interesting way of, like, making your height. Yeah, people understand.
That's how I describe myself. That's what my Tinder profile says. Slightly taller than a Banshee. Banshees are often actually quite beautiful. They always have long hair. That seems to be, like, their common, like, the main thing that is identifiable about them. And they're always combing it with their comb. So the Banshee's comb is pretty iconic. It's kind of her talisman, I guess.
Can I hop in with some hair history?
Oh, tell me. Yes.
Yeah, I love
3 hours of hair history. Coming
Are you ready for this? just a small bit. But you're talking about how hair is so important to her, and that's that real like defining feature of the Banshee. But hair is really quite important, especially in early Christian Ireland as well, because the head represented the essence of your soul. And so that's why during battles, the heads of enemies were collected and displayed. The hair had a kind of magical symbolism, so an indication of one's supernatural connections. So it was considered disgraceful to cut one's hair short or their beard. So if you wanted to humiliate someone, you would cut their hair and they would have to hide out and let it grow back before showing their face in public again.
Like the Dothraki.
Yes.
Does that mean nobody had short hair in...
Well, they would have tried to grow it as long as they could. Yeah.
Oh man, I would have been like,
that's
so
your essence as a
my
hair
barely grows at all.
But hair,
it's a tiny woman with hardly any hair.
Oh my god.
So close to being a Banshee.
So
close.
Yes, so far. Get yourself some extensions on.
Yeah, I would have had to.
But your hair color also was important. So brunettes had a terrestrial connection, while blondes were thought to be closer to God. Or close to the deity.
Congratulations to
like me and you, Alex.
And I think redheads were considered very bad luck, if I'm not mistaken.
But redheads in early Christian Ireland actually had magical power.
Oh, cool.
So that's
Everyone
why
had magical power. That's great.
Yeah.
No wonder they thought we were so superstitious.
I know.
That's probably...
I miss those days.
That's probably where the idea of rubbing a redhead's hair for good luck might come from.
Okay.
And so, although some legends say it's bad luck to see a redhead when you're set out, before you set out on a journey. So that's where the bad luck redhead element might come in.
Oh, okay.
So in the Book of Kells, Jesus and the apostles are often depicted as blondes with red beards. And so you got all your bases covered then with your hair colours.
Seems super unlikely.
Possible.
silver hair was important, so again, Game of Thrones reference, and the symbol of connection between this earth and the next, which is probably why the Banshee has like white flowing hair, or if she has dark hair. Now, this is just something that I'm surmising. It could be like that she's still stuck on this earth.
Mm.
So fairy or ghost? Fairy or ghost?
Yeah.
What do you mean by silver hair? Sort of grey? Or
I think it was like
white.
A light blonde.
Yeah, like a really light blonde. But the Anglo-Normans thought that this long hair was quite barbaric. Mm. And so they rocked the short hair look because that was deemed a bit more sophisticated and a bit more civilized.
Yeah.
So this long hair thing was a bit like...
It's making me want to go back to long hair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
be more Celtic.
Patriotism.
Celtic roots.
Well, sorry, as you were. I just had to hop in there with a bit of hair.
No, that was great. I'm really glad that I've learned about hair now.
There you are now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel terrible about myself because my hair is quite short. And
add that to the Tinder profile.
Yeah, I know.
Not you taller than Banshee, worse hair.
I'm neither closer to God nor terrestrial.
Twice as noisy.
Yeah. But I might have some bad luck if you set out on a journey.
Yeah. So, on her hair then, as I said, she has this comb, and the comb is considered, like, her talisman. It's, like, really important to her. And we talked about that. If she gets her comb robbed, that really grinds her gears. It pisses her off. That's how she's usually seen, so combing her hair.
If someone stole my hairbrush, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be like, give it back.
Yeah. I mean, if someone steals your stuff, it's kind of uncool anyway.
Is there any other stuff you could steal?
I think it's the only thing she has, honestly. It's the only possession she has.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's, like, connected, but I do remember reading about vampire women in Ireland were also known to comb their hair. And their combs were made out of bones, and they were really sharp. And they would use the sharp edges of the combs to puncture the vein. So instead of using fangs, they puncture it with the comb, and then they combed their hair with the blood, and that's why another reason why redheads were unlucky, because they might have been vampires with bloody hair.
What a cool image,
isn't it? So good. And I haven't found that many sources from it, but I'm like, that's great. I hope yeah, it's really good.
Did they ever use a hairbrush?
I don't think hairbrushes
existed.
I don't know actually. We should have looked into that.
But there was no reference to...
There's no reference to, like, a hairbrush.
Try to pop in here with some hair... No, I'm joking.
I thought you might know, honestly.
Hair podcast.
And there's some stories about banshees where they're described as... I'm going to wait till you put your drinks in. They're described as holding their rack.
Oh, very good.
And, like, obviously... we have an idea of what a rack is now, but a rack was a comb.
Yeah, we do.
A rack was a comb, so like a rack of lamb. The way
So
a rack was a comb.
Okay.
Love it.
So that's why you don't pick up a comb that you find on the ground, because it's sacred to the banshee.
Don't steal the banshee's rack.
Just don't grab a banshee's rack. You're going to be in trouble.
Take your hand off.
Get your hands off the banshee's rack.
And that's the end of the episode, guys. Thanks
That's our motto. That's our your take home. Don't touch a banshee's rack without her permission.
Consent.
Yeah. So banshee is, as I said, a harbinger of death, and she visits before someone dies. Sometimes a few days before, and sometimes she'll come back every night until the person is dead. She's also a psychopomp, which is a great word.
Psychopomp,
which means an escort to the other side. So like Charon in Greek mythology, or I think Hermes was also a psychopomp. So someone who just escorts somebody from the real world to the other world.
Yeah.
So she was a psychopomp. What else? She doesn't really speak, so she makes a lot of noise, but she doesn't really say many sentences. Like, there are some exceptions, like, obviously, in your story where she said, well, lucky you didn't stick your hand out. But generally, she just kind of makes, like, wailing noises, and like, och, and I, and alas, and all that stuff. Like, your ghost who said alas. She couldn't say anything else. So that's connected with the banshee, and we'll talk more about keening later on, because that's kind of related to that. She doesn't enter the house. So this is quite interesting. Like, the banshee doesn't always appear to the person who's going to die, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes they'll just, like, they don't appear in their bedroom and be like, you're gonna die. They're usually just seen on, like, the boundary of the household, or like near the window, or maybe by neighbors, or like a family member or something like that. So
Yeah, they're usually on the boundaries, and I want to talk more later on maybe about the liminality of the banshee and how that's related to the liminality of women. But this was quite common with fairies, so they were always on the boundary. So they're often found, fairies are usually found at like the bend in the river, or the boundary between land or a stile, or, you know, they're found physically at boundaries and also temporally at boundaries. So they're found at, like, see, at midnight, you know, between 2 days, or twilight between night and day. And this is why we get a lot of fairies at Samhain or other festivals, because it's like the boundary between summer and winter.
Right, where the veil is not thinner.
Thinner, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So she's associated with, like, transitional times and boundaries. The banshee usually goes to the family house, which is quite interesting. Even if the person who's dying is not actually in the house, they'll go to the family house. So there's like a really strong connection between the banshee and the family. And like families will often have their own banshees. So some examples are the O'Briens have Evil. Evil sounds like Avel, maybe it's pronounced A-O-I-B-H-E-L-L. Avel, and she actually supposedly appeared at the Battle of Clontarf before Brian Boru died. Mm-hmm. And then the O'Briens are descendants of Brian Boru, supposedly. The McCarthys in Cork have Cliona. I actually know some McCarthys in Cork, so Cliona is their banshee. And the Fitzgeralds in Limerick have Anya.
Does that mean any banshee that they see or hear, they assume is Anya?
Is, yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's their personal banshee. I don't know what she does when, like, no one's dying.
How do they know her name is Anya?
Maybe she told them at some point. Or maybe they named her. Maybe like a stray cat named her.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, we'll call her Anya. And then they just referred to her as Anya. So they're actually like imposing a name on her.
I can just imagine being like, oh, that's just Anya, right? He was a cop. You are next.
Goodbye. So they're like very connected to the family. And some families are like so superstitious about it. They won't even think that someone's going to die until they like see the banshee. So someone could be on their deathbed. And it's like, don't worry, you haven't seen a banshee. It's like, probably going to be fine.
They're going to pull through.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. And then they see the banshee, it's like, goodbye.
That's it. Stop the treatment.
And another annoying thing is that banshees often usually come to the death of a male member of the household. They don't often come to women, which is probably connected to the fact that, like, women marry into the family. So
name would be?
Yeah, it's not really connected to the name. It's because Ireland is, like, so lineal in a lot of ways. They usually came to the death of a male family member. They're usually alone. That's just something that's...
Imagine if there was like a gaggle, like a coven of banshees.
Yeah.
That'd be terrifying.
I think there's one story.
Just Anya, Cleanan.
Hanging out. Maybe that's hanging the thing that they do when they're spared, when they're not
banshee. When no one's dying, they're just like...
They go, well, let's just go and have a few cans.
Have a few drinks.
Comb our hair and have a... the crack. Mm-hmm. So what have you been doing the last few centuries? Love, I haven't seen you in ages. That's the
yeah. Jim died.
Didn't
even see it coming. Well, he did, because I told him. But
well, you know yourself.
Before that, he was pretty surprised.
I wanted to know, I'm just going to go in like last minute, or did it
compare how to do it?
Like some tips. Like,
did you try the last minute approach, or did you like, you know, you were bored?
And her clothes just fell off.
Like, well done, Tina, good one. What if it was the O'Brien family, then it would have been Evil or Abel.
Yeah, and, you know...
Abel's a bitch. Abel's Patrick Stewart's spirit animal.
Yeah, Abel's like, well, I didn't even tell the person who was going to die. I told his wife, and she had to tell him. What a moment.
Kind of phoned it in there. I just went to the room and just hoping they'll pass it on.
And there were two English people in there. I just told them instead.
Yeah. Actually, sometimes if someone is in another country, they will... So, like, if there's someone at home who's going to die, the banshee might visit somebody in another country and be like, your dad's going to die. Or, well, they won't tell them that. They'll just be like...
your dad is going to die.
Just wave from a distance. Lunch. They'll be like, oh great, someone's going to die in Ireland, but I don't know who.
There was a banshee in an episode of Sabrina, if you've watched the new one on Netflix.
No, I haven't
watched it. But...
So there was a banshee in one episode, and they pronounced Samhain right, which I really liked.
Did they?
In True Blood, they said Samhain,
They said Sam Hain in Criminal Minds, and I was watching it, and I was like, excuse me, Dr. Spencer Reed knows how to pronounce Samhain.
Hold on. You're telling me that in America, you couldn't throw a stone, hit someone who's been to Ireland, know an Irish person, have Irish descent, and couldn't tell you how Samhain was pronounced?
It's pronounced Samhain.
Samhain.
Makes me worry about their medical information.
Yeah, like, I mean, for me, it's okay if you say Samhain. It's okay if you say Samhain. You know, if you pronounce it a little bit wrong, Samhain. Like, that's okay, because it sounds kind of like Halloween. But, like, Samhain is just so
Samhain.
Wrong.
Quite far off, yeah. It's not the best Irish pronunciation, but I give
it's
it a
just
go.
We'll get to Samhain in different next few more episodes.
Yeah,
we'll
it just completely butchers it. Like, it's kind of like saying, you know...
Don't leg Harry.
Yeah. Or like in French, it's a croissant, right? If you call it a croissant, that's fine. If you call it a croissant, it's not right. Something's just wrong.
Croissant.
Is that similar to fillet, though?
Oh, fillet.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. Fillet. Yeah.
Is it actually fillet or is it fillet?
I think it's fillet. Well,
it's fillet.
I think fillet in French.
If I went home and went, oh, ma'am, can I have a fillet steak? I think she'd
actually just
tell
me
to.
This is very off topic, but do they not use fillet in the United States? Because they have fillet
of
fish.
Yeah,
they
do. And they say
fillet. Isn't there actual, like, isn't there, like, a chain? Confirm this with us, listeners. Isn't there a chain called Chick-fil-A?
Do I have anything else to say about banshees? Yes. I'm like...
Do you have anything else to say? You
Cuba is raining from her flashcards.
You bet I do. Check these flashcards out. Here's a...
You've got a sleep timer on. Set it to another
hour. Ceiling of the factory using flashcards.
It's gonna go on for longer. So the banshee doesn't cause death, can I just say, because people think the banshee is scary. Mm-mm. She is not killing anyone. She's just letting you know that you're gonna die. And she doesn't really attack people unless she's wronged first. So unless, like, she is attacked or, like, you steal something from her, she doesn't really interact at all, in fact. She is just an omen. She's just letting you know that something's gonna happen. She's not even very specific. She just turns up and she's like, something's gonna happen. You're not gonna like it. I'm not going to tell you who it is or when. Just in defense of the banshee, who's often used as, like, a spooky person. She's just doing her job. The banshees are kind of snobbish. There's, like, they're aristocratic, right? So we said that they're related to the families, but they're quite particular about their families. And there's some really good stories about this. Do you have them there?
I do have them here. You are correct. Can you tell it's our first episode and we're like scrambling for where we're going?
Where are all our papers?
I'm
sorry, just have a silent iPad here.
Costell is going straight to my head. Okay, so the banshee, you are absolutely right. She is such a fucking snob. So there was a tribe of the Hussies in Dingle.
You bet there was.
Yeah,
long
and their clothes just fell off.
Yes.
Long ago, and every time one of them died, the banshee was heard crying and going through Dingle. On this occasion, one of them was dying, and in the middle of the night, the banshee was heard crying. At that time, John Street was full of small houses, and I thought it was a person that was.
John Street.
Terrible affliction when you're full of small heads.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. I seem to get it out.
I'll
be
able to hear the Durham John Street.
John Street is very common, named after King John, probably, or another guy called John Street.
Oh, stop, no. Look, I'm actually physically crying.
John Street Street, then.
Stop! Stop it, both of you. Okay. I can't stop laughing. Okay, right, okay. At least we're having a good time. Right. At that time, John Street was full of small houses, and when they heard her, they became frightened. Natch. In every house, there was talking and discoursing, but some of them was... Sorry. Thus some of them were going to die, and the banshee knew what they were at. The fairy crying stopped, and she spoke to them. Listen, listen, you hoarding traitors.
You listen to me, hoarding traitors.
Listen to me. You are not in danger, but they have need to fear. A banshee never keened your kind. The
rude.
Fairy, rude, rude. The fairy crying began again on the following morning. They heard that a gentleman of the hussies was dead. There was, don't hear another
what
one.
What was she accusing them of there?
She was like, you're Morning. Being... Yeah, well, they're traders, so they're like the common people.
Oh.
She was just being rude, basically.
She's so rude.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, what is the implication of that? Like, what are they trying to say with this story? That, like, you're not good enough to have a banshee.
Yeah, basically, you're like, you're kind. We're not going to keen your kind. Why would we bother wasting our wailing and our asses?
You're dying all the time. Who needs to know about that?
No one cares.
Yeah.
You'll be dead by the time you're 50. 46 is out loud for you, like, so yeah. I'm not wasting me time keen on you. How bad is that?
What keen on me.
When you're last.
Oh my god, I'm so my can't. I'm fucking crying my heart.
Look at me, I'm a mess. Do you want to hear another one, guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes is the answer.
There was a man by the name of Finucane.
Oh yeah, I remember. I read this
Finucane.
One. Go on.
I quite like the name Finucane.
The Finucanes were old stock. Do you like them even more now?
Even more, yeah.
If it happened that any person of the same name, the Bav.
Bow.
The Bow.
I know, it looks like it's pronounced vibe, but it's Bow.
The Bow.
The Bow, with a banshee, it just means banshee.
If it happened that any person of the same name died, the Bow, or banshee, would come and keen them. It happened that a son was born to a young woman in that locality. The woman was not married. He was baptised Finucane.
Mm.
The woman said the child was his, and he did not go about denying it. When the son was 20 years old, he died. The neighbours were waiting for the Bow that night. In the middle of the night, the Bow came to the window, and she spoke into the people who were at the wake, and she said at the top of her voice, "The banshee of Slievegarv wouldn't bother to extend a keening to a Bowron's son on the floor of his friend."
Rude! Mm. She's like, obviously, like, you know,
sassy banshee.
She takes the time to appear.
Yeah, I thought,
like,
that's quite interesting.
Talk down to them.
Yeah, she's like, she turns up and she's like, "Oh, I'm not here for you. I just came to say that that's not his son." Like, whose payroll is she on?
Because then you kind of have to wonder.
That's
like,
not a Finucane. No, Finucane never
just
had sex.
Pointing that
with
out.
Her. Yeah, yeah, just
like,
came to say
Finucane
that.
never wrote her. That's not her son.
No,
no, he's you're just having the crack.
Some other guy.
But the thing is like, does that mean then that when you hear the wailing, like you kind of want to, because that establishes your family then? Because you're like,
on that point, do they only wail? Do the people who hear them wailing, are they only the families?
Sometimes it's neighbours.
Okay, so I mean, do they generally appear and anyone can see them, or?
Yeah, I think
so. Do only
the
people who are affected see them?
It varies. I think, like, in this case, you know, like, you'd have, like, the big house in the town, and they might have their own banshee. So everyone in the town is probably, like, employed by that person, so it probably does influence them. Like, I don't think you'd see a banshee for a total stranger. I think they have to have some, like, influence over your life. So, like, if it was your employer or was, like, the mayor or whatever, we don't have mayors, but, you know, if it was somebody important, somebody prominent, then you probably would see them.
Okay, so, yeah, it's for someone prominent, but other people can see them.
Yeah, anyone,
note.
Anyone who kind of is involved with that family can see them.
Well, they'd need that, wouldn't they? They'd need that clout to be like, just to kind of confirm that they're the ones who the banshee's appearing to.
It would be confusing otherwise.
They'd be like, is that for me? Oh, no, sorry. No, you're poor. It's not for you. So if I won the lotto, and then I bought a big house in the town, and then my granny died, and the banshee, would the banshee appear then? Or is she not like new money?
You gotta be established, not new money.
Yeah,
old stock,
yeah.
They set that,
this is it. It has to be like an old Irish family. And actually, I didn't mention that. Banshee typically only appears to somebody with O or Mock in their name.
Oh, she won't come to me then.
But the Fitzgeralds had one.
Oh, maybe there's hope for me.
There's some non-O and Mocks, but generally it's O and Mock that'd be the most common one. But there's some Irish names that
you get powerful enough, you can.
Do you buy a banshee? This is a historical question. Do you think then that any Anglo-Norman arrivals who came to Ireland tried to establish themselves as old Irish or old English, establish an old English by gaining a banshee?
Oh, that's a good point. That seems very likely.
Discuss. I'm joking.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get one anyway because you're a woman.
No, I wouldn't, but like, thanks for pointing that out, Alex. Cheers.
Well, maybe.
He's like, sorry,
I would
get a banshee.
If I had a name, that would work.
Maybe you could be one.
Oh my god.
But I right? So I have like one last card to mention. Mm-hmm. And like it's generally accepted that the Banshee is one of the she, right? So she's not... There's no origin story for the Banshee. Mm-hmm. She's just one of the fairy people who has a specific job. Or several of those fairy people who have different names and different jobs. She's a race. This is another thing. Like, is the Banshee like a race? That's why each people, like each family has a named Banshee. Mm-hmm. Or is it just one person going around? I don't know. Because like, how do they reproduce the Banshee? Is it in the traditional way?
They don't need too many if they're just around the entire time.
Are they asexual?
Just when they need a new one, they just
spawn a new one.
Yeah, they come out of the mounds. Something like that. I don't know. Maybe. So there's some possible origin stories. So one of them is that it could be the spirit of a woman who lost her family and mourns them. But that seems more like your guy from the first story, like a sort of wailing ghost. Mm-hmm. We're sort of doing the job of the Banshee, but they're not like a true Banshee. They're just a wailing woman. Like a supernatural wailing woman. Then another one is an unbaptized child who dies, but there's no description of a Banshee being a child. So.
They have to age.
Yeah, I don't know. And like how far
maybe
they
that's
age.
How they spawn a new one.
Maybe
it grows up into a Banshee.
Banshee lives.
Yeah. Go to Banshee school.
Banshee University.
Yeah, yeah, Banshee prom, have their first Banshee.
Then they graduate.
Banshee University, a future spin off show.
And for their graduation present, each get presented a comb. It's like,
exactly.
Here you go.
That'd be kind
it's
of
like,
a nice
it's
graduation.
It's like getting your wings as a cabin crew, you get given a comb.
That's nice.
I've got a very nice brass comb at home.
Be lovely. A fully fledged Banshee.
Cool.
I appreciate the gold comb.
Yeah.
I would take it if I saw.
Yeah, I think if I saw a gold comb...
Oh, I'd nick that.
I'd
no, Mother. That's
it.
Going in my handbag.
Someone left it behind. Like, what are you going to do? Go look for...
Yeah, it's like rural Ireland. Don't have phones.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to look up the Banshee on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like.
Yes.
No, you're not, I guess. Sometimes it's a soul serving purgatory. I read another story about how it's... This is the shittest one. Where, like, a woman who dies in childbirth will then be a Banshee until the age that she would have died. So not only is she dead, she has to then work in the afterlife just because she died prematurely.
The age she would have died is a very philosophical point.
Right?
Isn't it? I mean, what, when you, when
who decided
she have
that?
Died? Yeah, what's the, like, you would have died, like, childbirth is not a natural way to die then, in that scenario?
I don't know. This is just that's something strange. I read and I was like, that's bollocks.
It's interesting.
It's like a punishment because she failed at giving birth to a child.
Yeah.
Society hates women.
Clearly, according to this.
Yeah, I know. And then the last one is that she may be a keener who didn't do their job enough. Mm. So that's... And we're going to talk about keening in a bit.
I was about to ask, actually.
Yeah,
we had
so
mentioned keening, but I
keening
don't think I
is
know the word.
An old Irish funerary practice. It's actually, like, it was practiced in a lot of cultures, but it was in Ireland until the 20th century, and it's just like the wailing and crying and beating of the breast at a funeral. Mm. And it comes from the Irish cuíniú, meaning crying, so cuíniú became keening. And
yeah,
it was a profession, it was a job.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Before we talk about Banshees though elsewhere, because we don't know if they're just in Ireland, will we take a little break and get a drink?
Yes. Sure.
So, just before the break, we were talking about Ireland, Banshees outside of Ireland. Or is there a worldwide equivalent to Banshees? Are they just Irish? And we were... it's probably more of a Celtic thing. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. There's definitely Banshee or Banshee-like creatures in Scotland as well. And in Wales, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely the... Well, when we were talking about... We were talking about like the whole idea of fairy or ghost. The legend of La Llorona kind of springs to mind in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an equivalent of the Banshee. Mm-hmm. So it's Spanish for the weeping woman. Mm-hmm. And it's been part of Hispanic culture in the Southwest since the days of the conquistadors. But the tall, thin spirit is said to be blessed with natural beauty. So what you were saying, so gorgeous.
Okay.
Long flowing hair, sound familiar. Wearing a white gown, she roams the rivers and creeks, wailing into the night and searching for children to drag screaming into a watery grave.
Yep. More dramatic than the
Banshee. Yeah, definitely more active.
More aggressive.
Yeah. I know they made a really crap movie recently, which I didn't watch, but origin of the tales vary from source to source, like where La Llorona kind of comes from, which I suppose is kind of the same as the Banshee, not really quite knowing where it started.
Yeah.
But the one common thread is that she's a spirit of a doomed mother who drowned her children and now spends eternity searching for them in rivers and lakes.
Like also, the lady also drowns other children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering then, is she drowning the kids because she wants to find the kids that she drowned? Or is she drowning she's, them because that's she liked what it. She's con- she liked?
She did the ones that
she drowned
like,
the kids.
I
she
drowned
liked.
The kids.
I liked it. She drowning
them because that's what she's used to.
Well, la. Sorry.
La. La la la.
La Llorona is not her name. La Llorona. She's actually christened Maria, and she was born into a peasant family in a humble village. Her startling beauty captured the attention of both the rich and the poor men of the area, and she was said to have spent her days in her humble peasant surroundings, but in the evenings she would don her best white gown and thrill the men who admired her in the local fandangos. Ooh. And I love the word fandango.
Yeah, is it like a bar?
I think it's like a
I think we should bring
place.
Fandangos back what and have it? Our own local Fandango.
I thought you meant bring them back like they were gone from Ireland. Oh, no. We had a lot of Fandangos.
They were really
the
big in the 80s, Alex. Didn't know that.
What is a Fandango? Is it like a dance?
I think it's like a dance. Club? Yeah, like a club, like a kind of every time I hear Fandango, I'm just going,
Scaramouche,
do the Fandango. I thought it was a dance, so
yeah,
it must be
I
like
assumed.
Where you do that dance.
But then, like none of the other words in that song make sense, so...
Excuse
maybe
me.
Not
that
why we should be
basing our knowledge on. Bohemian Rhapsody is not really a historical text.
Excuse you.
So I've learned everything about Bohemians.
I disagree.
And how they rationalize.
But the young men anxiously waited for her arrival, and she revelled in the attention that she received. However, La Llorona had two small sons who made it difficult for her to spend her evenings out. And often she left them alone while she cavorted with the gentlemen during the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
Tart. One day, the two small boys were found drowned in the river. Some say they drowned through her neglect, but others say they may have died by her own hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's grim.
They obviously did not investigate crimes back then.
No.
They
were like,
just
we
like,
well,
quite, no.
They died
they
somewhere.
They dead.
Another legend says that La Llorona was a caring woman full of life and love who married a wealthy man, who lavished her with gifts and attention. However, after she bore him two sons, he began to change, returning to a life of womanizing and alcohol, often leaving her for months at a time. He seemingly no longer cared for the beautiful Maria, even talking about leaving her to marry a woman of his own wealthy class. When he did return home, it was only to visit his children, and the devastated Maria began to feel resentment towards the boys. Can you guess what happens next? One evening, as Maria was strolling with her two children on a shady pathway near the river, her husband came by in a carriage with an elegant lady beside him.
Fuck's sake.
He stopped, spoke to the children, ignored Maria, and then drove the carriage down the road without looking back. After seeing this, Maria went into a terrible rage and, turning against her children, she seized them and threw them into the river. As they disappeared downstream, she realised what she had done and ran down the bank to save them. But it was too late. Maria broke down into inconsolable grief, running down the streets, screaming and wailing.
Aww.
Probably still shouldn't have killed the children.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I don't feel sorry for her.
Sounded like you did. No, it is. It is. I think it's a sad situation, but the beautiful Maria mourned them day and night. During this time, she would not eat. She walked on the river in her white gown, searching for the boys, hoping they'd come back to her. She cried endlessly as she roamed the riverbanks, and her gown became soiled, torn, worn away, and she continued to refuse to eat, so she grew thinner and thinner, and she appeared taller because she was like a walking skeleton.
Oh.
So still a young woman, she finally died in the banks of the river. But not long after her death, her restless spirit began to appear. So walking the banks of the Santa Fe River, so this is in New Mexico, when darkness fell. Her weeping and wailing became a curse of the night, and people began to be afraid to go out after dark.
so she's said to have been drifting between the trees along the shoreline or floating on the current, and her white long gown spread out upon the waters. On many a dark night, people would see her walking along the river bank and crying for her children. And so they no longer spoke of her as Maria, but rather La Llorona, so the weeping woman. Children are warned not to go out after dark because she might snatch them and throw them to their deaths in the flowing river. And though the legends vary, the apparition is said to act without hesitation or mercy. The tales of her cruelty depend on the version of the legend you hear. So some say that she kills men, women, children, whoever is kind of foolish enough to get close to her. Mm-hmm. But all others say she's really barbaric and she only kills children. So there's a few accounts. So this is New Mexico. So it's an extension of Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's Spanish. But when Patricio Lugan was a boy, he and his family saw her on a creek between Mora and Guadalupita in New Mexico. As the family were sitting outside talking, they saw a tall, thin woman walking along the creek. She then seemed to float over the water, started up the hill, and vanished. However, just moments later, she reappeared much closer to them and then disappeared again. The family looked for footprints, and finding none, had no doubt that what they saw was La Llorona. So she became part of many rivers. She has been seen along many rivers across the entire Southwest, and the legend has become part of Hispanic culture everywhere.
Mm.
Part of the legend is that those who do not treat their families well will see her and she will teach them a lesson. In Santa Fe, New Mexico, the tall wailing spirit has been seen repeatedly, though,
mm-hmm.
in the modern PERA building, which is the Public Employees Retirement Association,
mm-hmm.
which is built on land that was once an old Spanish Indian graveyard.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
And is near the Santa Fe River. So many people who have been employed there tell of hearing cries resounding through the halls and feeling unseen hands pushing them while they're on the stairways. La Llorona has been heard at night wailing next to rivers by many of her wanderings, having grown wider, following Hispanic people wherever they go, and her movements have been traced throughout the Southwest and as far north as Montana. So we're heading into the Americas. But I think what's interesting there is that, like, she has quite a lot of similarities to the Banshee.
Yeah. Well, definitely all the wailing and crying and stuff. Mm.
And that, I mean, that was brilliantly done. That's on a blog called Legends of America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brilliant. It's by a woman called Kathy Weiser. She goes really into the idea of La Llorona. But
wow.
Yeah, she's quite similar to the Banshee, I think.
Yeah, she kind of reminds me of the woman in the song about the River Salia, you know, Wheela Wheela
Wheela Wheela Wheela. There was no lady and she
lived in the woods. She stuck a penknife in the baby's heart.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a lot going on in the song.
So, like, it's just a common, like, it's an Irish drinking song, I think, grimly. Mm. But a Wheela 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 doesn't really have any real meaning, so it is kind of like a wail, like a...
Well, it sounds like wailing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the noise that a banshee might make, or indeed a keener. Yeah, this idea of like an eternally wailing woman is quite interesting, and there's like a few different kinds of myths. Definitely in Greek mythology you have I think her name was Niobe maybe, and she had a bunch of kids, like maybe 12 children, and she did the thing that you're never supposed to do, which is like say that you're better than the gods, and she was like, oh, Leto only has twins and I have like 12 kids. Might not have been 12, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm so great, look how many kids I have. And then Leto was like, Zeus, I have your kids, and she's
disrespecting me.
So Zeus burned all of her sons and froze all of her daughters, and they all died. I think that's what happened. And the point is Niobe started crying and she just never stopped crying, and then she turned into a rock that's like crying all the time. So it's just based on a rock formation that has like waterfalls, and it kind of looks like a lady crying.
Mm.
Well, I suppose it kind of reflects on that fact that like losing a child is the saddest thing ever. It is, but it's that constant, like it never leaves you. Like everyone says, like losing a kid is the worst thing you can ever do. So like that kind of absolutely devastating sadness.
Yeah, and also of course the fact that you know, women were mothers first, so to lose a child meant to lose their identity in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And is there sort of an idea of women as kind of the people who mourn for like people who have died.
Yeah, so if we want to go now into keening, a keener was a professional mourner, and they had professional mourners in loads of different cultures over loads of centuries, but they were, it was a very big part of the Irish funerary rites, and it was always a woman. So a woman was always the keener, professional keener, and she would like wail and cry, and you'd pay her to go to your funeral. And some of them were like quite popular, like they were big performers. And what's interesting is that you always have, so you also have a midwife, right? So going back to the idea of the banshee existing at liminal times, women were the ones who were the psychopomps in a way in the mortal world, because a midwife would bring someone into a world, or, yeah, you know, a woman with birth, you know, the woman would give birth, but midwives were always used in Ireland, and a midwife would bring a child into the world, and a keener would bring them out of the world. Yeah. So women kind of existed at these, like, boundary times for a person's life, like the beginning and the end of life. And they, the keener was thought to have existed in this divine madness, and, like, she was almost living in both worlds, in the human world and in the world of the afterlife. And she did all kinds of mad things that people couldn't really do themselves. So she, like, expressed the grief for them. Like, she would wail and cry and tear her clothes and beat her breast. There's some stories of the keener drinking the blood of the corpse. And all kinds of things that now we would think is quite barbaric, because in about the 16th century, people coming over to Ireland, invaders coming over to Ireland, whatever, were like, this is gross, you shouldn't be doing this. But also the Catholic Church were like, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
None of that. Because two reasons. One is that a woman cannot be a psychopomp, only a priest can escort a soul to the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And only priests can only be men. And also because this kind of outpouring of grief was seen as inappropriate, because the soul is returning to God, and so you should be a little bit happier, and you're not accounting for the afterlife, so stop being so sad about the person being dying. So the Catholic Church basically banned it, and it took them a while to stamp it out, but they would like arrest women for keening. And
there was an historian I was trying to find out who it was who had keeners at his funeral. And, like, for the life of me, I can't remember who it was. It was, like, I think it was when we were in UCD, and it was, like, some lad years ago when the lecturers, he'd passed away, and he had keeners at his funeral. This is on eBay. And one of the lecturers, like, showed me the video on his phone. He was at the funeral of these keeners, and it was something to behold. It really was. And the fact that he saw it, like, actually saw it happen in his mind.
I think that makes more sense to me than being delighted that someone's...
Yeah, I mean, because that's like a really power move on their part. Like, well, we're going to own this process when it means so much to you. But just before we go on to your part, finally, Alex, of drinking, can I just mention the Scottish Banshee?
Please, yes,
because
I love her.
We mentioned the Welsh and the Scottish Banshee. Now, the Welsh one,
Ciaraidh,
I think it's Ciaraidh.
I don't really know any...
I'm trying to use the Welsh accent. Like,
I think it's Ciaraidh.
The Valleys. I watch a lot of the Valleys.
Ciaraidh?
Anyway, the Scottish one has long boobs. The Banshee. She has really long breasts that are slung over her shoulder. And if you see her first, you can sneak up behind her and suckle on her breasts. She will impart her knowledge, and the Irish banshees don't really interact as much, but you can sneak up behind the Scottish one because she's got this really long...
So she'll impart her knowledge if you suckle on her breast.
Yeah, she'll think that you're her baby, which brings up the, like, do they reproduce? Do the banshees, the...
fairy or ghost?
Van Nuys,
I'm just going to make this a thing.
Yeah, do they reproduce? Like, if they have babies, say they breastfeed. I think that's a really weird and brilliant story. Yeah.
You really want to make sure that's not a real woman, though.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You want to be quite sure it's actually a banshee.
I can't pronounce anything anymore, and I'm blaming you, Alex, for this.
I'm great for the pronunciation.
Yeah, can you hear the little clinking?
This is number three.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Number three, I think. But there is quite a lot. So there's about
They've got a blind
two whole sort of shots of. Pachin per drinks and you're back.
No wonder.
So do you want to...
Let's go into the drink. Let's talk about what we're drinking, what we've been drinking for the past 2 hours.
I believe you mentioned the name at the beginning, as far as I remember, the Honeycomb Harbinger.
Yes, that's what we're calling this.
Because there is, in fact, already a drink called the Banshee, bizarrely. But it's, I can't find the history of it, but it's one part creme de cacao, one part banana liqueur, and one part cream. And I have no idea where they got
where's the banana
name
coming in?
That's so weird.
Maybe it's because it's quite pale. I'm not sure where they got the idea of the Banshee from. But so, came up with their own one. Can't name it the Banshee for reasons of confusion. But Honeycomb Harbinger is what we chose. So, two parts Putchin, three-quarter parts Irish Mist, the whiskey liqueur, half part honey, half part warm water, six mint leaves, and then a honeycomb garnish, which, thankfully, this is not a visual medium because we do not have a honeycomb garnish.
We have crunchies.
Crunchies.
I got some crunchy. It's hard to get your hands on.
Fresh honeycomb is actually quite difficult. So if you're making this drink, plan ahead.
Yeah, way ahead.
Way ahead, even further ahead than we did.
Yeah, I don't even think that honeycomb is really... I don't know if it necessarily has a season, but if it does, I don't think it's a season.
I thought you just made it out of golden syrup and baking soda.
No, that's cinder toffee.
So this is like fresh honeycomb.
We're talking about the waxy stuff.
An actual proper honeycomb.
Yeah, where the bees
are.
It's a bee house. The bee house. You want to have
the bee house.
Yeah, it's a bee house. It's what they get the honey from, but with the wax still on it.
Yeah.
So. It's not very popular because, like, what do you need it for? If you want to make candles and eat honey at the same time.
Yeah, I drink this drink.
Yeah, exactly. But that's you know, all the parts of it, and to make it, so you're putting it in a rocks glass, which is kind of the, you know, the middling sized glasses that you kind of would just put ice in a drink in. But so you're mixing the half part honey, warm water, and mint leaves all together, and then just muddling them, which means sort of just crushing them all together. Then you're adding the two parts Putchin and three quarters parts Irish Mist, and then just shake it all up with ice, and then just pour it over ice in a rocks glass, and then garnish it with the honeycomb. And it's delicious.
It's actually so good.
It's so nice. It's based roughly based on the kind of heather cocktail, which is Drambuie and Scotch whiskey with crushed ice, but just with a little bit of a twist to it, sort of an Irish element. I wanted to choose Putchin for the base because of its kind of ancient ties to Ireland and Irish culture. Would be kind of the original Irish spirit, I suppose, even, you know, predating whiskey, because obviously whiskey's a newer drink. And apparently, you know, this is kind of not confirmed, there's no real definitive sources, but would be apparently created by an Irish monk around 584 AD, and production started in monasteries, which is where most of the kind of alcohol would be produced. Mm-hmm. And then the skills and methods would be transferred into the wider population.
Apparently Irish monks tried to make wine, but they just couldn't get the grapes to grow, and they were like, okay, fine, we'll make other stuff. But they really wanted to
grow. Not a great place for wine, Ireland, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But then, as time went on, so Putchin was distilled in kind of small pot stills, and the term is a diminutive of the Irish word potta,
potta,
meaning pot, and apparently the Irish word for hangover is put.
Is it? Fuck off.
Apparently, according to this information that I found.
That'll be me tomorrow.
That could be true. None of our Irish is good enough to confirm that, but I would believe you.
Another name for it, Mountain Dew, so if anyone likes to drink Mountain Dew, but it's actually from, like, the Irish idea.
Andrew loves it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking low way.
But yeah, commonly reduced to the small portable vat, which is kind of like a putchin, essentially, in remote rural areas or secret woodlands. So I kind of like the idea of linking putchin to, I suppose, the kind of supernatural. It's kind of something that every Irish family would have had, I suppose, their own kind of still. They'd be sort of producing it sort of on the sly, because after 1664, the kind of taxes on alcohol went up, so everyone was kind of producing it themselves and not declaring it. So it became a thing where, you know, everyone was trying to avoid the authorities and kind of hiding it. But apparently, bad weather was a blessing for the illicit dealers, so the washers were operated on the edge of land boundaries, which is kind of what I was trying to link to the Banshee idea. So, because they're on the edge of land boundaries, it would be possible to deny ownership if they were caught. So they like to operate, much like Banshees like to operate on boundaries, the Putchin producers like to operate on boundaries, so that they could hide if someone came to shut them down.
Classic Irish people.
The one we're drinking at the moment is the Puka Putchin, which is Cuiva's favourite.
I chose it because the Puka is an Irish spooky boy, and I liked the label. That's how I choose all of my alcohol.
I haven't drank Putchin since I was in, like, house parties when I was, like, 18. So
I don't know if I've ever.
Initially, when it was an illicit spirit, so it became legal in 1997, so quite recently. to be produced by obviously all the new distilleries that were kind of being started in Ireland. But yeah, before that it was anything from 40 to 90 ABV, so like 90% alcohol. So basically hand sanitizer, as we know. So yeah, it was quite intense. This one is obviously much more. You know, since they started regulating it, obviously that's much better. Like you can actually have proper safe poutine.
Safe poutine. So I won't go blind. That's good.
Or potable poutine.
Potable poutine. I'm still going to put in the morning.
From a legal point of view, it can only be made from sort of cereals, grains, whey, sugar beet, molasses and potatoes. Obviously, potatoes is sort of the most famous because it's linked to Ireland as well. But most of them now are kind of grain.
Okay.
But potatoes would have been traditional, obviously, because that was much like the diet of Irish people. That was
yep.
The only thing that
yep.
People could get just their hands on to make alcohol out of.
You can have potatoes in solid form or in
exactly.
Alcohol form.
Good for everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, potatoes are great.
Potatoes are great.
We should... Yeah, potatoes are great. Let's not get into it, but they're really good.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Potato
the next
podcast.
Episode is all about potatoes.
I'm so tempted to do a podcast about potatoes and how great they are. In some
of the haunted potatoes. Imagine. Mm,
but potatoes. Irish mist is the other main ingredient, which is an Irish whiskey liqueur. They claim that it's from a 1,000-year-old recipe. I think it's based on Drambuie, basically. So I think it's, yeah, you know, roughly speaking, based on a kind of honey, herbal, clovey sort of liqueur. But apparently it was the first liqueur produced in Ireland, so
yeah, good
you can
for
see that.
That
Ireland is not big into liqueurs before the 70s. And on top of that, yeah, the honeycomb is obviously linked to the comb, not so subtle reference to
the it's very
comb. Not really any direct link, but you know, it kind of ties in quite nicely, I think.
All you can hear is my ice cubes.
Clink,
just
clink, 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 clink.
Blooper
I like the term Irish mist as well, because it sounds quite, you know, ethereal and
yeah.
Mystical, even
well,
though, which is presumably what they're aiming
Lady
for.
Didn't Lady Fanshawe call her body a cloud, a misty cloud?
True.
She did.
And I think the Welsh...
after her clothes fell off.
The Welsh banshee is sometimes called the Hag of the Mist.
Interesting. So yeah, I liked that idea.
Yes. Right. Can you pronounce it?
Yeah, I like that idea of the poutine being kind of a secretive Irish thing, you know, specific to Ireland. Irish mist, it just took on that kind of mystical vibe, I suppose. Mm. Adding the honeycomb for the comb element, slightly less subtle, but...
I think you did a fabulous job.
I
this
love it.
Absolutely gorgeous.
And it has
I
to be drinkable soon.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean,
and
like,
it's very drinkable.
It's so drinkable. Oh, when we bought the ingredients, I was looking at Quiva and I was like,
We're in trouble.
I was like, I'm going to go blind. This is not going to work. I won't be able to see the page. And it's actually really nice. It's gorgeous.
Get into the not seeing the page element, to be fair. But...
Yeah. Yeah, it was time to jump onto this section.
that's our cocktail.
Fantastic.
Very delicious.
And
not
you
lot
deserve
of, not
a round
of
applause
yeah.
The first. Yay! First cocktail. Absolutely gorgeous. Well played.
But it's a fun challenge, actually, because there's not a lot of direct links to the banshee, obviously, in terms of any botanical or alcohol.
Exactly.
And I'm glad you didn't just make us a banshee.
Yeah, that would be. It also sounds gross.
Yeah.
No
banana liqueur.
I'm
really glad that we're not drinking banana liqueur and
made no sense in terms of it's linked to the banshee.
This is gorgeous. Thank you so much.
I like the interpretive element. It's fun.
And even like on that, because you were just saying like, because the banshee is the reason we open with the banshee, because she's just a bit of a legend, in fairness.
Yeah, she's...
Like
she's,
everyone knows the banshee.
Yeah.
Well, she's literally a legend, yes.
I suppose, as Quiva was saying, the most famous Irish supernatural being, aside from leprechauns,
pretty
I would think.
Much, yeah.
And poutine's the most famous Irish spirit, aside from whiskies.
Yeah.
That's very well.
Didn't you find a Star Wars reference to the banshee?
Just a little one. Yeah, we've got some little. I've got some little extras. So the part. So the E in our alphabet is just ephemera. So stuff that I haven't gotten to talk about. Stuff that we haven't gotten to talk about yet. One of them I'd like to mention is that we were talking about the Scottish banshee. Sometimes called the Ben Nye, I think it's pronounced like the makeup artist Ben Nye, and then it's sometimes called the Ban Sith. So Sith is just the Scottish variant on the word she. So Sith just means fairies. So the Sith in Star Wars are the bad fairies.
Oh my god!
Which is quite fun. I don't know if it's like that's where the word comes from, but I like to think it is.
So if the banshee's turn, you can call it the Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Nerd joke.
Edit
that out.
There's some other references.
So, like, in Harry Potter, we have the Banshee. So, Seamus Finnegan's Boggart is a Banshee. I do think she can be very lazy when it comes to her stereotype. She's like, well, he's Irish, so he's probably afraid of Banshees. But I think it speaks to Seamus Finnegan's character that his fear is that someone close to him will die. And I feel like that's really reasonable.
Or he can have a very noble name. I feel like Finnegan's a very noble name.
Could be. I don't know.
And the Banshee, he already has one. He probably called her Mary.
I was going to say Mary.
Oh my god.
That's probably Moira.
Moira.
Moira the Banshee.
Moira the Banshee.
The Finnegan Banshee is my... yeah, I just thought it was, even though she was just like, he's Irish, so Banshee, I think that was her thinking, but I like to think there's a bit more to it, that like Seamus Finnegan's real fear is that someone close to him will die at home while he's in Hogwarts. Yeah.
That's actually kind of cute.
Yeah. There's also a Banshee in X-Men... X-Man? There's an X-Man.
X-Man.
Called
X-Man. What is the singular X-Men?
An
X-Man.
Person.
X-Men. X. Kind of go an X-Officer, like in Hot Fuzz, you can't call them policemen anymore. You can't call them X-Men anymore. What is a singular X-Men?
X-Man? An X-Man. Well, the Banshee is male, so he could be an X-Man. Yeah, so he's
the Banshee in X-Men is a male?
Yeah. He's just a guy who makes really loud noises.
Oh,
he was in X-Men First Class, which is the best X-Men movie, I think. He just makes this really loud shrieking noise.
That's like the Banshee. Oh, cool. Banshee. Yeah. Very good.
They don't have the most imaginative names.
Yeah, they're not super creative. Like, there was a great scene where Jennifer Lawrence says, I'm going to be Mystique. And then Banshee was like, oh, I wanted to be Mystique. So then he named himself Banshee, because it's more relevant.
Very good.
Oh, yeah, so the Morrigan.
You love the Morrigan.
I love the Morrigan.
You dressed up as the Morrigan one year.
Last year,
for
Halloween.
Not Christmas. Halloween.
For the Halloween tour I did in work, yeah, I dressed up as the Morrigan. And I dressed up as her Ken a few times, actually.
But you love the Morrigan.
I love the Morrigan. So the Morrigan is one of the two of the Danann. So she's more of a goddess than a fairy. And actually, she's still worshipped by, like, modern pagans and modern witches. She does have quite a lot of commonalities between, there's a lot of commonalities between her and the Banshee. So, like, the Banshee may have come from stories of the Morrigan. She has a lot of names. Bow, which we've talked about already. So, Bow is another name for Banshee. Cú Chulainn sees a Bow washing his clothes before he dies. So, that's another thing that the Banshee does sometimes. She washes the clothes of someone who's about to die.
Huh.
Which is creepy. And the Cú Chulainn has quite a strong connection with the Morrigan. She kind of fancied him and he rejected her.
Oh.
And she's with him for quite a lot of his life and for his major life events, including his death. And then Nemain is another name for the Morrigan, she shrieks at the Connacht army, and 100 of them die of fright, and that's when they're fighting against Cú Chulainn. So there's just like some similar traits between the Morrigan and the Banshee.
You see, when you say Banshee, I always think Banshee Bones, and I miss them so much. Do you remember those crits? I love
crits. I didn't realise that they didn't exist anymore.
Yeah, so I found an article on the Daily Edge. Was I telling you've seen this. I wrote it down. They were officially discontinued in 2016.
False.
Did you know this? No, I knew that they had disappeared, and I have tried to find them in every mad, you know, weird little news agent I could find where you can still get Wibbly Wobbly Wonders, and I try to find a packet of Banshee Bones, and I couldn't. And I think we should bring them back and start a petition.
I think we should start.
My question is, what crisps do you get at Halloween then?
A potato or some shit?
No, because your mum always bought the multi-pack of Perry because they were always cheaper, and you get chickadees, you get onion rings, potato snacks,
you
and sometimes...
You can still get all of them. Wagon wheels.
You can still get Hot Lips, but you can't get Banshee Bones.
That's madness.
I'm fond of a Hot Lip, but I prefer the Banshee Bones. Do you remember...
Pickled onion flavoured, like, puffed potato snacks.
But they were salt and vinegar.
No, they're pickled onion, I think.
They were salt and vinegar, weren't they?
I thought they were salt and vinegar.
They're salt and vinegar.
I'm going to Google
it. I am 100% certain they were salt and vinegar, and they were so vinegary. Remember, they were like...
But yeah, see, that was the appeal, right? Well, I mean, I guess so... pickled onion would also be quite vinegary, so...
They were like Perry's...
They certainly tasted like vinegar.
Bag-o chips. Remember Bag-o chips? And you'd open one and one would just pop out.
Those were for sure...
I'm pretty sure Banshee Bones are salt and vinegar. Salty like her soul.
Vinegary.
Like
oh, damn, they are salt and vinegary.
It's on the right side of that.
Alex liked to like.
I knew what they tasted like, but I was sure they were. What am I thinking of?
Meanies?
They maybe. Definitely was a pickled onion.
Meanies.
You probably. Maybe. It was meanies, I think.
And you can still get meanies.
We can't get banshee bones. I think we should. Shit, I love banshee bones.
I wonder if people listening to this will sign our petition to get banshee bones reinstated as they should be into a fucking delicious snack enjoyed by the Irish people of Ireland.
What shape were banshee bones?
They were little bones. They were little. They were just like a little. That's what I figured. They were like little bones. And they were salt. They were so gorgeous. Yeah. And they would. They were like skips. They would just evaporate in like 2 seconds in your mouth because they were just like.
Like a banshee.
Like a banshee. So, like and a then banshee. All your clothes would fall off.
Exactly. We have different experiences with banshee bones.
I thought that I just hadn't had banshee bones a long time because I'm almost 30. But that's crazy. That's
I'll admit that I don't.
Now
I
you know think. How old Quiva is. I'm never going to reveal my age.
Almost 30. I will be 30 by the time this
30,
is released.
30 and thriving. No, flirty.
30. 30. What did you say?
30 dirty.
I said dirty, dirty.
Take on it.
I mean, probably.
I think I mixed up two versions of 30 and from stuffed into.
We'll wait until next week and we'll see, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So now that we've all discussed what a banshee was and how we desperately miss banshee bones,
yeah,
which if she's
part.
A ghost or a fairy, probably wouldn't have bones.
Anyway. Yeah, I know. And like, the banshee doesn't really have any connection to bones. Like, she's not...
But they're delicious, so it's
they were
fine.
Really tasty.
God, we should bring them back. Right, we're going to start a petition. Please sign it. Petitions seem like a lot of work, but I'll start one.
The government? Or
no,
Perry?
The company, Perry.
Perry.
They still have that recipe locked away somewhere.
They know
but
it.
Now that we've talked about what the banshee was in great detail, what could the banshee be?
In real life.
Yeah.
So I think... So there's a couple of explanations, right? So there's definitely a story I read on Dukas about a guy, it's just called A Funny Story, and it was about a guy who was chasing a banshee, and it turned out to be an owl that had got caught in a sheet. So, I feel like that's pretty valid. Owls, if you've heard a barn owl, they make the most horrific noises.
Yeah.
Really true, wailing, screeching noises. And I think that it's very likely that... That is what people are hearing when they think they hear the banshee. And I think that's why you don't hear the banshee in the city very much. It's mostly in the country. Barn owls have these really creepy glowing eyes and like they fly around. So like they're good explanations as to ghosts in general.
They always come in their hair.
Yeah. Famously.
Very well groomed barn owls.
Also, foxes make pretty horrible noises.
Yeah,
so
I've heard
of
it.
Foxes are terrifying.
They are.
Having someone get murdered.
They make the worst noises. So I think if you were alone in a house and someone was dying and you heard a fox crying, you'd be like, oh, that's it. He's gone for it.
Yeah.
That's an omen.
This is before electricity, so.
I know.
Creepier.
Yeah. Just like everything was creepier.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's in the country mostly, so.
True.
Double creepy again. Double that creepy. Then another one which is a little bit darker, I was reading a story about a woman whose mother went missing and her mother was out picking blackberries or something. And she went missing for a few hours and when she finally came back, she said she didn't know where she had been and she had woken up naked in the forest and she didn't know what had happened. And then later on, she said that she had been taken away by the fairies. So it's possible that like something had happened to her or something. You know, like she was attacked or assaulted or whatever. And she kind of used this story of the fairies either to deal with it herself or to kind of euphemistically say what happened to her. So, like, the fairies were often used to describe the unexplainable, you know, before science, and the kind of unspeakable. So, like, perhaps it was a way of explaining things that people didn't want to talk about. So, like, if you saw a woman alone crying... Instead of being like, oh, did something happen to you? Did a guy who was probably my friend, because this is a small town, attack you or something? You'd be like, there's a banshee. You know, it's just an easier out than having to deal with a crying woman. So that's like some possibilities, I think.
If I may link it to alcohol for a second, imagine you're off your face in 90%.
Putchin!
Putchin! A bar now has got tangled up in a sheen.
I'm like, there is a banshee.
It's a fucking banshee!
Absolutely dead, right?
Yeah, I think that's very valid.
I'm going to disagree with you completely and say the banshee exists.
okay.
Alright then. But you two were like, exactly. Okay, you've had too much putty. We're gonna take
it away. If I hear a fox on the way home at this point,
you're gonna be like,
I'm gonna be like, banshee.
Someone's dead.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe you just haven't seen her yet. Maybe we're just not old enough for people to be dying around us yet.
Mm-hmm.
So when that starts happening and then you see the banshee, you fucking call me and go, yeah, you're right. The whole time when you see her.
Also, in the countryside,
on your own, with your butchie.
You're dead. Right.
Yeah, that'll be my first call.
Whether she was a fairy or a ghost or true or not.
Or an owl.
Or an owl, or a fox, or just a figment of your imagination while you're pissed off pudging.
Yeah, or a bit of both.
Or a bit of both.
Yeah, some kind of combination of all of those things.
The banshee's a bit of a legend, don't you think?
I think so. I think she was a great first topic.
Abso-feckin-lutely.
So this has been the Irish Spirits podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have, please subscribe. Or wait, what do you do to a podcast? Do you subscribe?
You follow it. You can subscribe. You can download podcasts. The more downloads, the better.
Yes, do that.
It will be available on all good podcasting sites.
Waiting for Spotify to pay us 100 million.
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram. As I said, it's at Irish Spirits Podcast, and we will be posting the recipes for our drinks there. So you can drink along with us if you want to make the drink in advance. We are also on Twitter at Irish Spirits Pod, and if you want to send us an email, it's irishspiritspodcast@gmail.com.
Send us an email if you've seen the banshee.
If you've seen a banshee, please send us an email.
Prove them wrong.
Important.
Yeah.
And one out of three of us will believe you.
I'll believe you.
Thank you for listening to the Irish Spirits podcast. It was written and produced by Caoimhe Creed, Laura Fitzzachary and Alex Buckley. Some of our main sources were Ducas, the online schools collection, Tarquin Blake's Haunted Ireland, and JSTOR articles by Patricia Lysa, Bettina N. Kimpton and others. You can see our full list of sources in the description.